I'd like us to grab hold of our Bible. Do you want to sit? G Kids, do you have your Bible? Can you show me your beautiful, handsome Bible? Lift it up high. The Word of God says that this is the sword of the Spirit. And if you are to go into battle, you need to learn how to use the sword. Yes. In the first church that I attended and was saved, the preachers always say, draw your sword. Apa ni? No sword ke? I don't like gadgets. I brief paper. You know why? Because people don't know how to turn their Bible when they use gadget. They don't even know if this is Testament, New Testament, or Old Testament. So if you are discipling a young Christian, you make sure that you get them a actual hard copy Bible and teach them what is what. You'll be surprised that a lot of new Christians do not know where is Hosea. Where's Jeremiah? Where's Luke? And I've had people who ask me, what is Old Testament? What is New Testament? Because all you do is a touch of your gadget and it gets you there. You know, you have no bearing of the Bible at all. No bearing. Is Luke in front? Is Genesis behind? So if you're discipling new Christian, please do teach them how to use the Bible. Draw your sword, kids. Father, this is your living word. You're supposed to pray with me. I believe in the power of your living word. For your word says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Lord, teach me to love your word. Teach me to eat your word. Teach me to live your word. Teach me to teach your word. Because in the book of Hebrews, it says that this is like a double-edged sword. It pierces through bone and marrow, right into the core of our spirit. Today, I believe that the word I receive will pierce right into the core of my spirit and transform me. And I will be a useful vessel. I will be a greater worshiper. I will be a stronger warrior. I will know how to use the sword of the spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn with me. Oh, Pastor Ed just did his arm workout. Do you know how he has his big muscles? He has big Bibles. For your information, this Bible doesn't really belong to me. It has Pastor Edward's name on it. But I'm using this for this year. So he has big Bible. But you will find that my Bibles are all very tiny. So they goes into my handbag. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 2. The title of today's message will be Valley of Echo. Echo, I don't really know how to pronounce it, but the Lord has been impressing upon my heart about doors, and the last few weeks in prayer time, personal prayer, corporate prayer, I've been seeing doors, and we have shared about we standing at the brink of a breakthrough. At the doors that we're supposed to open, but I believe that God has already put those doors in front of us. And so today I'm going to share the key verse of today's message comes from Hosea chapter 2 verse 15. But we will be reading from 14 to 23. And I will continue next week. My husband will be very glad. So today's message will be short, hopefully. And then I'll carry on the next part of what we are doing today into next week. So I pray, I hope, I plead and encourage you strongly not to miss church. It's only 2 hours a week, not too much to ask for from God, right? Hosea chapter 2 verse 14 to 23. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back to her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. Today, I'm talking about the valley of Achor, and then next week, we'll be talking about the door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, you will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the bells from her lips, no longer will their names be invoked. In that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness and you will acknowledge the Lord. In that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the sky and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain and new wine and oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. Father, we thank you for the power of your living word. And even as we read, we ask that your word would just seep right into the core of our spirit and settle there and begin to bear root and begin to bear fruit and begin to bear forth in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're taking notes, there will be 4 points. I'm trying to target 4 points in 15 minutes. Now, the Valley of Achor. Now, in the book of Hosea, it talks about how the unfaithfulness of God's people in the times of old, the Israelites, how unfaithful they are. God still loved them unconditionally with an unconditional love, but God has his unchanging law that we have to abide, that the people of God have to abide. But because of his powerful, compassionate, deep love for his people, despite their unfaithfulness, God single out a man called Hosea to go and represent him in person, what it means to love an unlovable group of people. And though they were adulterous spiritually, the Lord sent Hosea in to show them the picture of that faithful love of God expressed in the lover's perspective of husband and wife. And that's why Hosea was asked to marry a prostitute. You know, how would you feel if you are a godly man and God says, you, because you're so obedient, I want you to marry a prostitute to redeem the nation. It's like a curse, man. How can that be? But that was the picture that God was trying to show to the people who have been unfaithful, that how his mercy is everlasting. That when sin abounds, grace keeps abounding. And so I just want to extract this part where God's mercy for the Israelite can apply to us in our modern time as well. That even in our unfaithfulness, God is still merciful. Remember Abraham pleaded with God, if only there were only 50 people in the land, would you spare, 50 godly people, would you spare the land? God said, I would. And then he demanded about 40. And then 30, and then 20. And at the end, say, how about just 10 people who are godly in the land? Would you spare the land? And God said, yes, I would still spare the land. And that was the prayer just 2 nights ago with Ashton when we read Genesis. And the two of us crab up in our bed. We say, God, there's more than 10 godly people in Malaysia. So you definitely will spare our land. Amen? And I believe you're godly men and women seated here. If not on a Sunday evening, you would be not found in church, right? So I believe you are a godly person and God will spare the land because you are praying. I hope you are praying. So in this passage, chapter 2, 14 and 15, it is God's plan. God revealed his plan to us. He was going to transform the valley of Achor. And the valley of Achor is a place where you remember in the book of Joshua, it was where Achan was punished for his sin. And so this valley is associated as a place of trouble, as a place of distress. It's not a nice place to be in. And I'm just wondering today, how many of us think that we are in the valley of Achor? That we can identify with the trouble and the distress of that valley. But God say, I will transform the valley of Achor to a door of hope. To a door of hope. Isaiah 65 verse 10 says that even Achor was a place of sin being punished, but yet that was a place that was supposed to flourish. It was especially fruitful. Isaiah 65 verse 10 says, Sharon will become a pasture for flocks, and the valley of Achor a resting place for herds, for my people who seek me. God promised that when we seek him, he will make that place, Achor, a troubled place, a resting place. And so Achor is being pictured as a blend of trouble and also blessing in disguise. And so in many times in our troubled places, ask God for eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that can be able to pick up God's heartbeat in that troubled waters. What is the blessing in disguise? What is the undercurrent of that troubled waters? What is the blessing? What is the fruit that can be found in that deep valley of depression? Just now, Chris read to us Psalm 84. It's one of my favorite psalms because it says from strength to strength, from glory to glory, God takes us from the valley of Baruchah to the high place. So what is the blend in our life today? What is our valley of Achor that God is going to transform to a door of hope? And Hosea 2:15 says that God says, I will give her vineyards. And vineyards, it's a picture of abundance again. I would love to go to a vineyard. I've pleaded with my husband many times in Australia. Can we visit a vineyard? He says, why do you want to pay? You can't even drink wine. You want to go to a vineyard? There are people go there to sample wine. You know, drink all they want. Then I'll take you. You can't even drink. Just a few days ago, I was praying and the Lord reminded me to take some wine. And all these years, I never take wine because I cannot take wine. And I don't like wine except for Lord's Supper by default. I learned to enjoy that little bit. But Paul says in his letters, take a little bit of wine for the sake of your stomach so that you will not be ill. So there is a medical proof to that because of the resveratrol that's in the wine that helps to keep us healthy. And when our stomach is healthy, we are healthy. I'm horrified how 21 days breaking fast have opened the door of unhealthy eating all over again. 21 days of hard work thrown into the, flushed down into the drain for all the leaders. Repent, man. And so I woke up and I said, God, I'm going to open a bottle of wine. So I went to look and then I found this herbal preparation Chinese wine. So it's not exactly like the red wine, but it's red. But it says herbal preparation and 25 meals a day. If you need strengthening, take 50 meals a day broken into two dosages. So I took 25, 25, 25. And it does help me a little. And so one evening, I said, Krista, would you pour me my sweet wine? And then she accidentally poured more than 25 meals. So I said, it looks like 50 meals now. say, pour it back, or put it in another cup. And everybody in the family say, come on, no need. This is not real wine. You know, you won't get drunk. I say, but you know, I can't take alcohol that has contained alcohol. And then everybody, especially my husband, say, come on, just drink it up, will you? I say, okay. So I drank it up, and in no time, I was red like a lobster. From head to toe, my back, my abdomen, everything is red. I was feeling the heat. I was burning. I was going groggy. I said, yeah, so smart, right? You're smart, dude. Ask me to drink now. I'm feeling so horrible, terrible. And that's why he's not taking me to the vineyard. Because I was really hopeless, you know, in that little. So the whole night I was suffering in this burning, burning sensation all over me. And silly me, I went to take a shower, hoping to get myself off, and then my dad this morning told me, you can't take a shower after you drink wine. A bit too late. So vineyard is a place of abundance, fruitfulness. And he says, as in the days of youth, now we'll redeem you. The days of youth talks about vitality, talks about energy, talks about strength. I know some of you, youth, don't even have the vitality because of all the nonsense you eat. Right? So God's plan is to transform the valley of Achor that we are in into a door of hope. And so if you are in the valley of Achor, whatever troubles in your life, fear not. Wait on the Lord. The door of hope is opening. And we'll talk about the door of hope next week. But what is our response in the valley of Achor? Verse 15 says, sing. Our response to him is to sing. God's plan is to transform that valley for us, but we are to sing. Sing. And I cannot stress enough that we need to release a new sound out of the depth of our spirit. When new sound come out, it just breaks into the spirit realm with that wave. We can't see wave, right? We can't see microwave. When the thing is going round. You can't see the wave. You use gadget, they have waves. You can't see. You go for x-ray, there's powerful waves. You can't see. But there is a certain kind of wave that we don't see, but it's also happening. That is when people come together and sing and praise and worship the Lord. Amen? There is power in the synergized worship. That you can't see those waves. So if you believe in those gadget waves, you must believe in the spiritual wave. So when we sing, don't underestimate your singing. Some of you say, oh, come on, Pastor, I can't even carry the tune how to sing. I don't care how you sing because the Lord loves your voice anyway. If you stand, whoever stand to someone who can't sing or carry a tune, just be tolerant because the Lord, God just love and adore that sound as well. Right? Amen. I used to sing in a worship team. And that time is a small church as well. And so we don't really have an audition where who can sing, who cannot sing. And Pastor Edward was so lenient at that time to receive someone who can't even carry a tune. And when I'm standing next to her on duty, I have to just shut myself out and concentrate to carry my own melody across. And she was singing all her heart out, her worship to the Lord. And she's singing next to me with a mic. And I used to come out of the worship practice or Sunday and I tell Edward, tajadi lah, every week like that. Habis, man. I can't. Okay, they are just laughing. I don't know whether they know who I'm talking about. But I just find so distracted because the person can't sing. How can you put her in a worship team, you know? But if you're down there, just sing. Don't care of your neighbor. Just sing to the Lord because there is power in the singing that comes from a genuine heart of worship. Amen. You should hear Ashton sang at Pastor Subi's conference. This powerful singer, I can't remember his name, came from America. So he gave a short, he led us in a very short, spontaneous worship. And then he went into a very simple song like, I love you, Lord, and I exalt thee. And Ashton was singing. Oh, he doesn't care who's around him. He said, all the way. And I thought, oh, if I'm God, I just love that singing. You know, like God just love because we are his children. So when my son was singing his out loud in the conference, I thought, oh, that's so sweet. I'm sure God loves it. I'm sure God loves your singing, even though you can't carry a tune. Secondly, God's purpose. In verse 16 to 18, he says that I will establish a covenant with you. God is demanding an increasing intimacy with us. He says that now you have to call me husband, not master. And there is a season of change in our relationship with God. God is calling us, inviting us into the bridal chamber. That is intimacy. No longer you will call me my master, but you will call me my husband. That is the relationship God is requiring of us if we are to enjoy the covenantal blessing. When God makes a covenant with his people, blessings follow. Amen? But there is a requirement. The requirement is we have to come into that covenant relationship. God wants to make a covenant with us, but do we want that covenant? If we say yes, then God is saying, I will require you to come into the bridal chamber. I will require you to be more intimate than ever. And there is no end to our spiritual intimacy with God. If you're at this level, you must be able to go to the next level. If you're here, then you must be able to go to the next. So in this season of change, God is saying that you will call me my husband. I know for some of you guys, you've got a problem with that, right? I'm already a guy. How to call God my husband? I don't know how you're going to do it. Maybe you just go and ask Pastor Ed how he does it, right? For me, it's very easy. I'm a woman. I have no problem with that. Because I remember after preaching one day, someone came up to me and said, Pastor, you know, it's very sissified to call Jesus my husband because I'm a guy. So I don't know how you're going to do it, but you got to shift mindset. You know, you got to see it not from a lustful perspective, but from an intimate lover's mindset. And that's how. Now, there must be something is not wrong because I didn't take anything out of context. It's the exact word in the Bible and it's the exact picture that God paints for us in Hosea, in Songs of Songs. It's a lover's perspective. So if you have a problem, go. Go and confront God, okay? He put it down in the Word of God. And so, we are asked to enter into that intimacy level. And then thirdly, is God's promise. Verse 19 to 20, God says, you are betrothed, or I betroth you. I betroth you in righteousness, in justice, in loving kindness, in mercy, in faithfulness. That is God's promise to us. When you are betrothed to someone, it is more than just being engaged. You don't break an engagement. Nowadays, people don't even engage before they get married. I remember before we got married, when we announced our wedding plans to my in-laws, and my mom-in-law say, you guys have to be engaged. She insisted we have an engagement ceremony. And I learned the importance of what it means to be engaged before I get married. And I don't know, people here very simple. No need lah, just straight away get married. But here again, you see, because engagement, you are announcing to the people pre-wedding, that I am engaged to this person. There is a commitment. But I know there are people who also break engagement. But here when God says, I betroth you, it is a tighter tie than just being engaged. That means there is already an established of covenant there. I will marry you. You are betrothed to me. Are you with me? And he gives the promise of righteousness, of justice, of loving kindness, of mercy, of faithfulness. And that's God's promise to us. Plan, purpose, promise in the valley of Acre. God's mercy and kindness is being stressed again and again and again, despite men who always run astray. And lastly, he closed with a reinforcement here. God's response is, God will plant. He will plant. Verses 21 to 23. Let's look at those verses again. In that day, I will respond. God's declaration to us is, I will respond. What is he responding? His response is to the sky, so that the sky can respond to the earth. And then the earth can respond back with the bountiful blessing of supply here, represented with grain, with new wine, with oil. Because these three things are the necessity of the Bible times. These are the ancient necessity, right? They have grain, they have new wine, and they have oil. And they will respond to Jezreel. And very interesting, Jezreel actually literally mean God will sow, S-O-W. God will sow. That means God will plant. So God gave us a plan. He gave us his purpose. But he also tells us what is the requirement. And then he sealed it with the promise. And then he say, he declare his response over his people that he will plant. And the grain and the new wine and the oil represent an endless supply for people who seek after God and say, you are my husband and not just my master. Now these three verses here speaks of the communication of heaven and earth bound in the Lord himself. When God say, I will answer, that denotes his favor upon his people. That when he respond, when he speak to the sky will respond to the earth. And when the earth respond back, it's responding to the people of God. And just recently at Pastor Subi's conference in the night that I went, the first night, he says that he actually fasted 90 days. He fasted 40 days before he come to Malaysia. When God says, go to Penang, Malaysia, he fasted 40 days. But it was not enough. After breaking fast, together with his team, they fasted some more. They fasted 90 days and prayed for our nation before he stepped foot first time in our land. But then he says this, we Malaysians have to rise up to pray for our land, because this is our land. The land listened to us because God gave us the authority. We own this land. Are you with me? He says, I come in as a foreigner. I can pray. I can intercede. But at the end of the day, the Malaysians must rise up to pray and intercede for the land, because the land listened to you. The land listened to you because we are the owners. And so when I read this, I suddenly thought of what he says makes sense. Because when God speaks to the heaven, because he created the heaven, and the heaven will speak back, the sky will speak back to the earth. And the earth, there's a communication there, a spiritual communication. And it blesses the people in the land. And so, we must not be laid back, knowing that God's response and declaration is to plant, is to sow into our life, into our land. We also must rise up to be in a tight communication with God in order to see the increase. Are you with me? Worship team, get ready. So today I want us to declare based on Hosea, the hope that we have in the Lord, despite we may be in the valley of Achor, a place of trouble, distress, discouragement, despair. But God say, I will open the door of hope for you. We will talk about it next week. And I want us to arise from the valley of Achor, knowing that in the valley, there is blessing in disguise. It may be a very tough season in the last 7 years for the church, but I'm believing with all my heart and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that God will never shortchange people who remain faithful year in, year out, sowing for his purposes. Amen. I want us to rise. I want us to begin to declare. I want us to remember that God is a God of hope, that his plan is to transform us. His plan includes his good purposes of his covenant. And he seals it with a promise. And he declares over us what he will plant in our midst. But what are we to do? We are to sing. We are to declare. Declare the hope. Declare the intimacy. Declare the increase in our midst. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for Hosea chapter 2. I thank you, O God, that you transformed the valley of Acre that we are in into doors of hope. Father, give us eyes to see, eyes to perceive. I declare the sick shall be healed today, the doors of healing open. I declare the lack shall be filled, the door of supply shall be opened. I declare the lost shall be found. I declare the doors of salvation open. I declare the enemy be defeated and be bound to the ground, crushed under our feet. I declare that Jesus Christ, our Lord, He is here. He is here. We have hope. Take us, Lord. Take us, Lord, into intimacy with you. I declare increase. Increase in faith. Increase in provision. Increase in good health. Increase, O Lord, of hunger. Shagaraba shakaraba santa. Would you open your mouth and declare over your life, declare over your family, declare over your church, declare over the city.
Could we just all rise up right now? I want to lead you in a declaration. And as you repeat after me, you need to believe it in your heart that there will come a breakthrough in our life. Father God, I believe that you're my healer. Lord, I believe that you're my portion. You are more than enough for me. Right now, Lord Jesus, I declare victory in my life. I declare healing in my life. I declare your protection in my life. I declare your abundance in my life. I declare your presence in my life. I declare your leading in my life. I declare that you, Jesus, are all in all. You are everything that I need. You are everything that I will depend on. I will put my trust in you. I will not waver to the left or to the right. My eyes are fixed on you, the author and the perfecter of my faith. And by faith, I declare that you have given to me everything. Every single thing that I need. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are King and Lord of my life. Today, right now, I crown you once again as King and Lord of my life. Thank you for being my Savior. This day, I make you King once again. Because you are the one who is going to provide every single thing for me. My hope and my trust is in you. I declare this to the heavenlies. I declare that I am a child of God. I declare that I reign with Jesus Christ. And nothing is impossible with God. Thank you, Lord, for being my King, my Lord, and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.